What's up, guys? I wanted to introduce you to the newest sponsor of the show here, and that would be Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to get in on all of the action across all of the sports, including motorsports. Again, Underdog Fantasy and their pick 'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite driver stats, and you can win up 20 times your money in a single night. So, example, let's say you are really not a Brad Keselowski fan. So the pick is going to be higher or lower than finishing in seventh place. So you're going to click that lower button and off you're running for the day to see if you can win some money. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy to use website and mobile apps. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick 'em entry. You get everything right and you're going to take home some serious cold hard cash. Use promo code PPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $500 by Underdog. A little bit more on why I think Underdog is such an awesome website to use. First off, their website is easy to use, and so is their app. There are no waivers, trades, or lineup setting. There's nothing to worry about other than setting a couple guys in your picks. Underdog lets you draft a fantasy team in just a couple minutes. Again, please use promo code PPN for Pit Pass NASCAR, and they'll double your deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. You deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. So join now, and we'll start having a Underdog Fantasy segment in each and every episode going forward after this week. Welcome to another episode of Pit Pass NASCAR. I'm your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. We are going to do some non-racing questions, some NASCAR trivia. We will talk a little bit about the snooze fest that was Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. And then we will make predictions for this weekend's race. And yeah. Before we get there, thank you to our friends at Underdog Sports. You'll hear the ad at the end of the episode or at the beginning of the episode. I already forget where I've kind of started to do some editing before we publish this. So please check it out. Again, if you're looking for the NASCAR bets on there, they will be up each week before the race on Thursday through the race weekend. They get taken down Monday at some point after the race, in prep of the next weekend, but they've got all sorts of sports on there. It's baseball time, so check out all their baseball bets, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, all really cool stuff. Very easy to get started on there. And please use promo code PPN because it helps us out too. So here's what we're going to do, because there's really not much NASCAR news to get to, and we don't have any interviews for at least a couple weeks, as I'll be out second half of this week on vacation and all of next week, so I have not done any sort of prep work on that. I'm going to ask some random, really pointless questions. Frenchie's going to come back with some trivia, and we'll take it away, and we'll see how long this takes us. Frenchie, would you prefer to have hands for feet or feet for hands?
I guess hands for feet, yeah.
I agree.
You have much, like, far more options of dexterity that way. You'd be like a monkey.
Yep.
Okay, so my first question for you is, I guess I didn't realize this, that NASCAR discontinued publishing race earnings after 2015.
Okay.
But up to that point, the most money earned by a single driver, or by a driver in a single season, came in 2006, when this driver won his first championship, and he had race winnings of $15,875,000.
Jimmy Johnson?
Correct. Yes. From 2006 to 2010, he won more than $74 million because his 5 consecutive championships.
Wow. Well, then,
The good old days.
Moving on. Let's see here. I have done zero prep on these, other than there's a list of a ton in front of me. Which SpongeBob character would you choose to live with and why?
Oh my God. They would all drive me insane. Gary.
Okay.
Because he's the quietest and least intrusive member, I would get, I'd say, basically. The rest of them talk way too much.
See, I would choose Squidward for almost the same reason, because he like doesn't want to be around people, so he'd pretty much leave you alone.
Yeah, but he plays the clarinet like really awfully.
Maybe it'll like, yeah, but he's not going to play the clarinet when you're trying to sleep. You know, he's not that cruel.
I guess.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, so which driver has the most consecutive years, like most consecutive NASCAR seasons with at least one pole? This driver, I'll give you a hint, won at least one pole in all 23 years that he competed, starting with his rookie season in 93 and stretching all the way to 2015.
Rookie season in 93. Can I phone a friend?
I don't know who the friend is, but
yeah, it'd have to be you. Because can you give me another hint?
This person also holds the record for the most consecutive starts in the series. 797 consecutive starts. There's someone that you definitely know. They're still relevant in the sport today.
Kevin Harvick?
No, that's like a decent guess though.
Yeah.
It's Jeff Gordon.
Okay. I knew
Kevin Harvick came in later, right? Like 2001.
Yeah, he was post Dale Earnhardt. I knew I wasn't totally right. I was just trying to guess guys who are a little bit older.
Fair.
All right, let's see here. Nope, I know your answer to that one.
Now I'm curious what that question is.
Nope, that's a boring question. What is your current go-to guilty pleasure song?
I don't know if I have a go-to one. I just pretty much press shuffle on Spotify and see what comes up, but
it's a terrible answer.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what's a guilty pleasure. I'm not really embarrassed about most of the stuff that I listen to because I enjoy the troll, but I'm just scrolling real quick to see if there is something. I guess no. What's I don't know what's embarrassing of what I.
It doesn't have to be embarrassing.
Well, that's a guilty pleasure, though, right? Like you feel guilty about it because it's embarrassing.
I mean, you could just be like, "Oh, it's totally not my like." Mine would be this pop star in Australia that, you know, she's kind of like acoustic pop. That would be very outside of what I normally listen to. So it's kind of like a guilty pleasure because it's very, very different than most metal stuff that I listen to.
I guess I'm just going to go with Mambo Number 5 because whenever that comes on, I enjoy it, but it's like it's not my type of music.
Mine would be my other one would be Who Let the Dogs Out. I request it at every single wedding I've ever been to in the last like 10 years, except yours because I totally forgot.
All right. I have two more questions for you. And both are Talladega related.
Okay.
For this upcoming weekend. So at the 1987 Winston 500 at Talladega, this driver, and it's related to someone who's still currently relevant in NASCAR, set the all-time NASCAR qualifying record. So they lapped Talladega at 212.8 miles per hour.
Okay. What year was that?
87.
Michael
and it's like there's a name with a legacy. No, but that's not a bad guess because that is a legacy name. 87. Picture a Ford Thunderbird with, I believe, Coors beer on it.
I mean, Sterling Marlin?
No. He did drive Coors Light, but that was, I think, a Dodge.
Yeah, Ford means nothing to me from 1987 in any racing, so.
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. It's Bill Elliott.
Oh, yeah, I would have never gotten that. Good one, though.
A.K.A. Chase's dad.
Yeah,
to a lot of people.
Thank you. Is it my turn? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I feel like this one, that one's too easy. What book or series, TV series or movie, do you wish you could live in?
That's so obvious for me. James Bond.
Yeah, yeah. I would say my fun, slightly live on the edge answer would be The Wire, because I think that would be fun to.
You're gonna die.
Live dangerously. Yeah, I mean, we're all gonna die anyway. And
that's hold dark, on. But yes.
I have a really funny athlete story about that. And after your last question, don't let me forget. My other answer would be, I don't know, The Office, because when I first got into that show, which was not when I went to the University of Scranton, is when I was in my first job out of college, and it was very much like, oh my God, I know who that guy is like in my office. So it's just kind of, and also The Office now is very sentimental towards me, for me, because I miss certain things about the Scranton area. Many things I don't miss, I'm sure you can guess, but many things I do.
Like the Steamtown Mall?
definitely not the Steamtown Mall. There's an aquarium in the middle of the Steamtown Mall now.
Oh, okay.
And when I went to the Pocono NASCAR race last summer, I was like, oh, well, I stayed in Scranton the night before to, like, you know, I attempted to go to dinner at this pizza place I used to go to in college, but it was closed for the summer. And I walked around campus and all that. And I was like, oh, I'll go to the aquarium at the Steamtown Mall, also closed for the summer.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a depressing city.
It all just shuts down in the summer. That seems like when you'd want more activities.
Yeah, but there's nobody in the city.
Okay. So no one lives there. The college.
I mean, there are plenty of locals, but I don't think they're too interested in that sort of stuff.
Got it.
All right, get to your last one.
Okay, so the 1997 Winston 500 at Talladega. This driver, who I'm going to give you more hints because I think you'll want them, drove at an average speed for the entire race of 188.354 miles per hour. They finished the 500-mile Talladega race in 2 hours, 39 minutes, and 18 seconds. Okay, that's pretty damn fast. There were no cautions in that race. I'm trying to give you a hint. This driver was driving for Jack Roush, famously associated with Jack Roush. His favorite rapper, I believe, is Gucci Mane. I think he's said that publicly.
I don't even know who that is.
He had Valvoline sponsorship for a long time.
Mark Martin would be the only Valvoline correct one.
Oh. Yes.
Mark, what is a good, I don't want to ask.
Gucci Mane's a rapper. I don't know if that's still his favorite rapper, but there was a while where I think that was his thing on Twitter, was his bio. Let me look it up.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to get to this ridiculous quote.
No, it's not anymore. Now he's in NASCAR Hall of Fame, but it used to be something about Gucci Mane, I think.
So I was watching a bunch of hockey this weekend, and they were doing, it was a San Jose Sharks game. They were talking about the goalies and whatnot. And I always pay attention to what they say about the goalies, as, you know, kind of a goalie fan from my playing days. And the Seattle Kraken goalie is a big Formula One fan, if that would be remotely interesting to anybody. He's probably more of an F1 fan than I am at this point. But the Sharks goalie, who made 49 saves on 50 shots, which is pretty ridiculous, especially for the Sharks, who are like the worst team in the NHL this year. They interviewed him afterwards, and they were like, you know, I forget the exact question, but something like, you know, how do you feel you did in such a game? And he said, I look up and I'm like, wow, a goal on 40 shots or whatever. I'm like, I feel good. It's just like nobody cares. You know, nothing's really going to matter. We're all going to die. And I was just like, holy hell, this dude literally just dropped one of the darkest quotes post game, or post race, or post any athletic event I might have ever heard. And I mean, he's not wrong. And I don't mean to get into some like weird, dark debate,
existential conversation.
But it was, I was like, oh man, that's a rough one. Anyway, I guess at this point we've wasted 13 minutes without actually talking about current day NASCAR of any sorts. So Texas, ever since, two things happened that ruined Texas. A, the repave or reconfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
B, I think part of that is made worse because of the traction compound that is still lingering in certain parts of Texas. So essentially, you know, whether it's, you know, IndyCar put on a decent show last year, but Texas is essentially a one groove track. And if you get out of that groove, you spin. We saw so many guys hit a bump in the track or get too high and they're spinning and they're crashing. There weren't really any accidents out of, you know, however many there were, you know, seven or eight that were guys banging wheel to wheel, fighting for a position. It was all guys hitting a bump in turn three, going into the wall or whatever. So I am okay. I would rather have boring Martinsville like last weekend than ever watch another Texas race. Give me a boring short track race over the garbage at Texas any day of the week. It's such a boring race. And listen, Chase Elliott winning is good for NASCAR because it gives them a positive storyline. Chase won for the first time in
42 races. A year and a half.
Yeah, 560 days, I think I saw. Great. Yeah. You know, that's good. Good for Chase. I'm happy for him. He deserves a win. He's worked really hard to come back from his injury last year. But Texas stinks. So if you were to take Texas off the schedule, let's just pretend we have the power to do such a thing. You're gonna bring them to any track you want, whether it's on the NASCAR schedule and you're giving them another date, or it's not currently on the NASCAR schedule. Where are you bringing them?
I'm going to add some kind of a road course race.
Okay.
So it's going to end up being like Road America for the cup cars, or maybe I'm trying to think of where else would be interesting. Never mind. I was going to say St. Pete you could do, but I don't know. I don't want another street race really. Chicago's unique.
Yeah.
What's the other one? I don't want Portland really, cause that's not that interesting.
I think that track is terrible.
Laguna Seca might be epic with cup cars. It might also be a complete disaster.
I think the problem with cup cars is when they go down the corkscrew.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to do it.
The cars would bottom out so hard and would be a disaster. Okay, I like the idea, though. I truly like the idea. It would just be a nightmare.
Because they already go to Watkins Glen, and that's awesome. Sonoma is still a good track for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Road America, I guess, has to be the answer then. What other road courses are that good?
I think you're...
VIR?
You're...
Road Atlanta?
VIR is too small. Road Atlanta is too narrow. I think Lime Rock probably doesn't have the facilities to support NASCAR.
Yeah, so it's Road America then, right? It has to be.
Yeah. Let's see. My answer... would
Mid-Ohio Cup cars.
Ooh.
Be a wreck fest.
Let's see here. My answer would be, let's go with Rockingham. Let's revive Rockingham. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that's a
classic. So yeah, I guess, you know, that's kind of really all I have to say about that. Who would be your driver of the weekend?
Good question. I feel like I'm totally with you on this track basically being ruined. They ruined it for IndyCar, and it's not even good for NASCAR now. This, I would argue, was probably the least entertaining race of the season so far, in my opinion.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, there were way too many wrecks and cautions, and it, like, that can be interesting, but it wasn't, because it wasn't really people battling. It was just people spinning on their own because the track is so difficult for them to drive at this point. So that's not fun to watch. My driver of the weekend, I guess, would probably be I think I'm going to have to give it to him, even though I'm hesitant to do so because he was really quiet kind of all day. But I think Carson Hocevar, top 10.
It's a good one.
Like, I mean, he quietly got there, so pretty solid.
I'm going to give it to Chase Elliott. He started 24th, wasn't super competitive in qualifying, didn't look super comfortable. It's actually one of, like, it was in about the half hour of qualifying I did watch was when he was on there before I had to head out. So, you know, listen, he's had some bad luck this year. He's been close a couple times. He finally gets off the schneid and gets a win. So that's my pick. Okay, who's the loser of the weekend?
Unfortunately, Kyle Larson. I think he had his opportunity to just rack up another win. He looked really good, and then it just kind of went away from him.
It's usually what happens when your wheel falls off because the pit crew doesn't tighten your...
I know, but like it's not his fault that he's the loser, but I think that's a major loss, and he's going to be mad about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm going with... Okay, you took that one. I'm going to go with Harrison Burton. Started 29th, finished 28th. That Wood Brothers car looks totally lost last year, and now the first third of the season this year, give or take a race or two. So, I mean, it's just like he's getting to the point where I even when I'm low on money in Grid Rival NASCAR, I still don't want to pick him. Like, I'm like, yeah,
lineup.
I'll take Austin Dillon at this point. And who did finish in the top 10? He did have a very good day this weekend.
He did. He did. Got to give him credit for that.
You know, yeah, that's respectable. So, seriously. Yeah. All right, let's go over our predictions. Again, there's not much NASCAR news, so that's why we rambled on for the first 15 minutes. And next week we have a guest host who will be much more knowledgeable than me. So, continue.
NASCAR is just like too stable.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly,
I love it for that, and it's also it's also like then we have no news, but then we actually get to talk about racing, so I love it, and it's interesting for me at the same time.
All right, that's fair.
Okay, our predictions. I was just looking them over. So for a good weekend, you said Tyler Reddick, big time. He finished fourth, so definitely a solid weekend. I said Bubba, he finished seventh. And I really like the look of his Columbia livery.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty decent, though. Nice. Bubba's been very consistent. So that's pretty even on those two. Bad weekend. You said Kyle Busch, who finished ninth. And I said Austin Cindric, who finished 25th. Yeah, 25th. He also started eighth. So I thought this was going to be when I saw the qualifying. Yeah, I was like, well, I picked wrong. And then, nope, definitely not. He's still nowhere. Right. Yep. Yeah. Then for the pole, you had Christopher Bell, who qualified third.
All right.
And then I picked William Byron, who I believe qualified sixth. Yes. So I think you technically win because he's closer to pole.
Yeah.
You know, still good. Like, someone has to win that. We're never going to get it right in picking the pole. Yeah. It's such a crapshoot. And then you picked Chevrolet, and I was looking, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Chevys in the top 10. So that's definitely going to beat the Toyota pick that I had, which was just 2, I believe. Yeah. And then it was Chase Briscoe in a Ford and Brad Keselowski in a Ford, rounding out the top 10. So you pretty much beat me, I think, in all of those, except for me picking Austin Cindric having a bad weekend.
Yeah, it's a good week. All right. I have one kind of short topic to get to. I want to keep this to a half hour because I still have to pack for vacation and I am a little bit behind on day job work that I should probably look at tonight. So 9 out of the 10. Are we at 10 NASCAR races on the season yet? Hold on. Let me look.
Yeah, I think so. No, this was 9.
This is the 9th. I think we're, you know, listen, with the exception of the second race of the year when Daniel Suarez won, we have essentially either JGR or Hendrick has won every race.
Correct.
And when you go down to Xfinity, it's essentially the same thing. So is this for a sport that prides itself on being somewhat unpredictable in who the winner is going to be? Is it getting too predictable?
That's tough because we see years where IndyCar, I mean, it's a Ganassi versus Penske battle and it's still entertaining, even though that's kind of predictable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still think it's because Kyle Larson could dominate and just qualify on pole for the rest of the season. And I wouldn't be surprised. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I could also see William Byron winning another seven races. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think NASCAR is more unpredictable, especially because of the shenanigans they pull with the championship race where they have like the final four that need to, you know, they build the tension all the way into that. Their playoff format, I think, is what keeps it interesting because you have people being eliminated. So as much as it's kind of a gimmick, I think it keeps things unpredictable and you have to get a win, but you can also get in on points. Like that's, you know, that really creates drama where there might not be any. If, let's say, we have four JGR cars and four Hendrick cars in the playoffs at the end, then I'll be eating my words. But
okay, that's fair. I have, we're going to leave that debate at that and we're going to go on to Talladega predictions.
Okay. I was going to say one last thing though about just the Xfinity race at Texas. Ross Chastain killed it in the booth. I did not expect him to be as good as he was. I don't know why, but he was awesome. I just had lower expectations for him. I don't know. I'm not sure. Cause I've never really heard him say that much.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I was really good. I wanted to watch it and Saturday, you know, we had no plans and sat down on the couch and we both passed out for like 4 hours and woke up Saturday at like 6 o'clock. I actually napped more times this weekend than I left my girlfriend's apartment. And I have to take the dog out at least a couple times each day. So yeah. Yeah. We left the house twice all weekend. It was pretty awesome.
Relaxing.
All right. Talladega predictions.
Yes. And I have the times in front of me too.
Yeah. Why don't you start with that? Go ahead.
Okay. So we just have Xfinity and Cup this weekend. The Xfinity qualifying is at 5:30 p.m. on Friday. And then on Saturday, you've got Cup qualifying at 10:30 a.m., followed by the Xfinity race at 4 p.m., and then the race itself for Cup is at 3 p.m. on Sunday on Fox.
Okay, not bad. I will obviously not be watching. I will be far away.
Somewhere in Europe. Then.
Yeah. I'll be enjoying lots of food and lots of scenery.
Okay.
All right. Prediction time.
Who's going to have a good weekend?
I am pulling up the entry list right now just to see if I can find a hot take in there.
Okay. Yeah. We might as well go for some hot takes so that when we have our guest host next week, we can tear them apart for both you and I.
Yeah. Cause I promise I will not be probably not have time to listen next week. So,
maybe we can say bad things about you.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Let's go with Daniel Hemric.
He's going to have a good weekend?
He's going to have a good weekend.
All right, that is a hot take because I don't know what he's been doing this season so far. He's a talented driver.
I don't think he's full-time.
Is he not?
I'm looking that up. It doesn't... I don't...
Yeah, he is. I thought he's driving for the colleague car in like
He's a colleague, but I thought he was the part-time. Oh, no, he's full-time.
That's just how much he's just been riding around at the back.
Hmm.
He's had no top 15s yet. All right. So Daniel Hemric. So he's going to have a good weekend. Okay, for me, who else is going to have a good weekend?
His best race of the year was Daytona, so another super speedway. So,
yeah, I'm going to actually go with, I think that John Hunter Nemechek is due for another good race. He's had a string of some bad luck. So I think it's about time he flipped that luck.
All right. That's respectable. Bad weekend. Let's go with, oh, I got a good one here. I don't know. This might be too low hanging fruit, so you can be the judge, but the fact that he's on the entry list is mind blowing for many reasons. So I'm going with Cody Ware.
Oh, yeah, I don't really want to touch that one.
No, me either. That's why I'm leaving it at that. That's, if you need to know more, go to Twitter and you can join in the discourse there.
I don't know if that's the best place to look up what happened, but
it's not. But you get
if you have opinions, you can definitely feel free to weigh in the toxic fashion as is appropriate on Twitter. But if you want to look up actually what happened and you, because you don't know, we won't take time to explain it here. But
yeah, we're not doing that. Yeah, just not even close.
So he's gonna have a bad weekend. Okay. Another bad weekend. I think I don't even remember what happened to him, but Brad Keselowski, he had a good weekend at Texas. Yeah. I think he's going to, he finished terribly at Daytona. So I just, let's say he's going to have a bad weekend.
That was honestly about to be my pick before I saw Ware's name pop in there.
Who's getting the poll?
William Byron.
All right. Hard to I'm gonna guess for Bill Elliott, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, do you mean Chase Elliott?
No, Bill, he's gonna jump in the car.
Okay,
I think for the poll, dude, how can you like picking Kyle Larson would be cheating at this point, so I'm not going to. And instead, I will go with looking for just Ross Chastain. Why not? Chevy's going to be fast, as usual.
All right.
So pick your manufacturer for dominating the top 10.
Yeah, let's go with, this is a bold one because they have the least car count, but I'll go with Toyota.
Okay. But they do have consistently like good.
I mean,
it's, what is it? Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's definitely a good guess. And I have to go with Chevy because Ford has not been, they haven't won a race yet.
Yeah, this is true.
So I would like to go with Ford to see them win, but I don't know if I can pick them because, I mean, who, Penske and Stuart Haas are probably their top teams, and neither one of them has had amazing results so far.
Yeah. All right, we had a prediction. Is that our last prediction?
Yeah, that's it for Dega this weekend. So, and these are risky because
they're all risky.
Yeah, you could just have the big one and knock out all of the cars.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. I hope you guys enjoy Talladega. I will catch up on it in like a week and a half. I promise you, I will not be paying attention this weekend. Also, please don't attempt to tweet me anything that happens this weekend because I'm also not looking at my Twitter very much. So leave me alone.
But you can insta DM him.
No, my Instagram's private.
So you have a private account? Yeah, so I was kidding anyway. If anyone tried, they wouldn't be able to.
You're a jerk.